Well, I'm going to go in this morning. We're going to be teaching. It's like last week we did talked about praying in other tongues, and the Lord told me he wanted me to talk about that first of all, because tongues is a huge, really an asset into dealing with intercession. Because we need to understand one of the things that if you think about, if you go back to the Old Covenant and you look in the Old Covenant, men seeking God, man could only seek God really based on the revelation that he could understand or know, and really from his really dealing with wisdom, man was really limited. Praying in other tongues has absolutely revolutionized and changed praying. Because we can go into areas where the Holy Spirit can pray things out through us outside of our mental ability. Just like Mike said, he would drive past that piece of land, he'd pray in tongues. Now, he didn't even know at the time about those things. And I wouldn't, personally, I'm not surprised at all that I would surely believe that it was the reason why things turned out. You know, he may have been calling that thing to himself, and he didn't know his mind he was supposed to do that. But the Holy Spirit, through him, had him saying things concerning that property and its future use. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, where Rhema Bible Training Center sits today, it was years and years past, it was a farm. And there was a young man who lived in that farm, and he used to go out and pray concerning that farm, and he would pray and pray concerning that farm, and one day he realized that he was praying concerning that farm and its use for God, and he started claiming that that land was going to be used for God, and that property today, Rhema Bible Training Center sits on it. See, the will of God was prayed out concerning those things. And see, God's doing many things in advance. And that's why lots of people, when I was teaching before over in Esther and some different things, of how God's working ahead of people doing things. And this is why we want to yield to the Holy Spirit. Most people's prayer lives, most of the church world who don't know much about the area of the Spirit, they can only pray when events happen. And really, that's after they take place. We got to have better than that, don't we? Hallelujah. And God's given us that. Through praying in other tongues. It's an absolutely huge, powerful, powerful thing. And I want to go in and talk about the prayer of intercession today, because the prayer of intercession has such high importance in the body of Christ, because really we're fulfilling through us, the ministry of Jesus Christ gets fulfilled through the church. And intercession is a great part of prayer where things do get, where intercession takes place. Kenneth E. Hagin, I wasn't going to bring this up right away this morning, but I just feel in my spirit. Kenneth E. Hagin said this about the prayer of intercession. He said, the simple, he said, definition for intercession is keeping judgment off of people who deserve it. That's what intercession's about. See, you can know this about how intercession got so messed up in the body of Christ years past, because they didn't understand. People were using calling it intercession for all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't. And see, this is one of the reasons, and I can say this, the body of Christ brought to pass through them getting off into left field a lot of what we have today going on in our nation. The body of Christ did, because of getting, following off fleshly stuff, calling it spiritual, and doing all kind of things instead of following God's plan. And God, this number one, you need to understand this, God's intent for man is not that judgment falls upon man. God doesn't want it. And we're going to look at some of this stuff today, because when we look in the earth today, many times people look at judgment and things going on, and you hear people say, well, this is what God wants to do. Now, you need to understand, you read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not God's perfect will for man. God's perfect will, he told us what it is. All would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Everybody gets saved. All men come to repentance. The book of Revelation is what's carried out upon man because of man's disobedience and not following it. The book of Revelations ain't the will of God. It's the will of God that takes place when men don't follow God, but it ain't God's perfect will. And the church preaches, well, the word God's going to carry out that way, that's because he wanted to. No, he didn't. Man chose that. Men reap what they sow. But we need to understand about some things, especially the place that believers do under a covenant. We can see even under the old covenant where God didn't want to bring judgment on Israel and said he couldn't find somebody to stand in the gap. In other words, God was looking for somebody to stay off judgment. I'm just going to tell you this right now. The church wants to stay off. Now, we're not going to stay off all judgment. Some things need to be judged and dealt with. But I'm going to tell you what. You don't want judgment to come on this nation in full, because if it does, it's going to affect you. There's things of judgment we want to hold off. I'm going to tell you, this nation deserves to be fried. And this is one of the things that we get over in the area, is because we don't want all judgment. There's a lot of people under judgment get harmed and hurt that really are innocent of things. But they get hurt. There's loads of children in this nation because, you know, of judgment, that they suffer a lot of things in this nation, and they suffer a lot of things and in nations worldwide because of the stupidity of the adults and not even sometimes in their own generations. Judgments can be carried out from previous generations. The Bible teaches it. Judgments carry, they build and build and build. America didn't end up in the mess it did because just the generations today. These things opened up when I was a kid. They started opening up. Things started opening up when I was a kid. Things started opening up when the Second World War people came back and started to think they didn't want anybody to face any hardship anymore, and we're just going to live in this world. And what they did, they started, you know, doing things with their kids, and they didn't want their kids, you know, to face things, and they didn't want them to have to deal with stuff. But they don't realize what they became and they were because they were raised by parents who taught them to face things in life. And now we have generations of people, and all this bullying stuff and everything. Man, people can't take anything. They can't take nothing. Somebody calls you a name, I'm being bullied. My words, I grew up in school. Man, we had bullying. Dear Lord, we didn't pay no attention to it. Dear Lord, that's what they did. And it ain't no different than it was before. They just have more avenues to do it, but it ain't no different. But these kids have been taught and trained, oh, you're wonderful. You know, you get a trophy for everything you did. You get a ribbon for everything you get, and everybody loves you, and you're the next best thing to sliced bread, and most people hate their guts. And they raise them up believing a lie. And when they get it old enough and it ain't true, they can't handle it. They can't handle it. Kids can't handle no today. My God. It's like you pulled a gun and shot him. Well, it's good preaching, folks. But we're living in this. And talking about this, in this area of intercession, I want to read a scripture to you from Job, the 9th chapter. There's a revelation that is absolutely marvelous that Job had here. And this revelation has been lost to most of the church today. Most of the church, and the reason we know that is because of the sloppiness of grace preached today. This revelation, it's a marvelous revelation that Job understood about God in his time. That most people today, this is why most people don't get intercession, they don't get the ministry of intercession of Jesus Christ, because they don't know what it's for. Today, people in getting saved have no clue even why they're getting saved, and other they're trying to get God to bless them. And they don't realize condition, the condition that they're in. In the 9th chapter of Job, Job said this about God. He spoke about God in himself, between his relationship between him and God. Now, God looked at this guy, Job, and thought he was really good, and he was. But there's one thing that Job was really good. Job understood his condition in relationship with God. He understood it. Most people don't. In other words, this is going to affect you in your prayer life if you don't understand the relationship between you and God. If you don't know it. Now, this was Job's relationship, and this was before redemption. Now, the book of Job, we don't know exactly when it was written, but it is believed that this is written before the law. You know, the Bible's not in a chronological order. Just because this fell before Psalms, it don't mean it was back in David's time. This was probably before the law ever came along. And there's one thing that surprises me, because there's certain things of Revelation, when I look back before the law was given in the book of Genesis, I see by the time Exodus came along that they lost most of the revelation that they had about God. They had lost it. And so God was really revealing himself back to man again. But in the 32nd verse, I'm going to read 32 and 33. It says, listen what he says. For he's not a man, speaking of God, God's not a man, as I am, that I may answer to him and that we should go to court together. He said, nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. There was something that he, in other words, he knew his condition. that he was in. There wasn't a mediator. In other words, man and God weren't hooked together. He understood that. He understood God in his perfection. He understood without, you know, who am I to question God? Who am I? You know, there's nobody. In other words, I need a mediator. There's not one. There's nobody between. Well, we know God sent a mediator, the intercessor, Jesus Christ. There was a need for one. Job understood that. Job understood that he was definitely going to have to count on God's mercy of things, because how can I go just plead my case to God? How can I do it? Who's going to stand in for me? I'm not God. I'm a man. He's God. And the reason, this is a wonderful revelation, because, you know, it used to be when the gospel was preached, it was preached to men that they were sinners and they didn't have no hook to God. And without a hook to God, you ain't getting to heaven. Today, it's not preached anymore. You're just a pretty nice person. You're a good person. You just need Jesus. No, you're not. You need a mediator. And if you don't get one, you're going to hell. If you don't get a mediator, you're lost for eternity. There's none good. Nobody is good. See, they don't preach that because that doesn't make people feel comfortable. They want people to think, you know, they're nice. We need to understand about, we're talking about judgment. I was talking about judgment before. Judgment carried out. We need to understand about judgment carried out. With judgment, God carries out judgment. God is going to eternally judge those who do not accept Christ. God's going to judge them, not the devil. God is going to judge them. God sent Jesus as a mediator, and his mediation ministry is so God, if people who receive Christ, God doesn't have to judge them. In other words, God wants to show his mercy and kindness and grace through Christ Jesus to the church. That's what he wants to do. Everybody accepts it. Why? So the Bible says it's a new covenant because the sinner is under the wrath of God. So when I was a sinner, I had nobody to lay his hand on God and lay his hand on me and arbitrate a thing. And we need to understand this when we talk to sinners about praying. I'm sorry, sinners don't have a mediator. Sinners don't have a mediator. They don't have one. They're lost. They don't get a mediator to accept Jesus. There is no mediator for them. The only thing that they can do, and God tells them to do, is to receive Jesus Christ. They get the mediator. They enter the covenant. They have one to stand in for them. And until that happens, they don't. They don't. Anything God will do for a sinner, it's purely out of being a merciful, nice God. It is not on there that they deserve anything. I deserved nothing of the covenant that I walk in today till I accepted Christ. Now there's one who stands between me and God. I can receive anything from this covenant. I can receive any of it I want to because of the one who stands between God and me. And I received that one. So in other words, it's sort of in a sense what they're talking about here. It's like having an attorney in court. I have one who is well able to represent me before God and also represent God to me. So now there's a hookup, and you need to understand this. The position that men become in through this relationship. And it just marvels me if I look back and this wonderful revelation. And you know, if you understand that revelation, you go over and read Job's guys that were giving him a hard time, who do you think you are and all this kind of stuff together. It's number one, they didn't understand that revelation at all. They were talking like they deserved to be in the position they were in. They didn't realize they were in the same condition. They had not been born in under the nature of God. The Redeemer haven't come. God was on, all they were operating out is the mercy of God, God's mercy toward mankind. And these guys didn't realize they didn't have a meter. They thought they had God in a bag. You know, we got him. I know, we know. But they didn't realize. Job had the revelation that, you know what, it don't matter how right that I think I am. That doesn't matter. I'm talking with God. Who am I, you know? How am I going to get, you know, he's God. I'm just a man. What do I do? And that revelation was there, and really that's what did. Job understood that he needed an intercessor. Job understood. He needed somebody who was a go-between. He needed a middleman. He knew he wasn't the guy. And see, even in Christianity, when Christianity loses these revelations, which much of the church world has lost today, even among the Christian who wants to follow God doesn't understand these things, will always be limited in his prayer life, limited in his thinking, limited in his walking with God. Because what he has is today, we need to be careful in the area. All that God did to us through the new covenant, we're still not God. Boy, there's a lot of them out here think they are. They think because God did all this stuff that now they're God. No, I'm going to tell you what. We operate where we do because of an intercessor. We operate where we do. And if we understand this thing, it's, I'm going to tell you, folks, it's absolutely astronomical what we can do in this earth and what we can accomplish for God in this place. We need to understand the intercessor in the earth, one of the greatest things it is, through the intercessory ministry of Jesus, man is hooked to God, but now God is hooked to man. God can bring things that he wants to bring to pass into the earth through humanity. Loads of things God could not do. Lots of things God couldn't carry out before because of not having the mediator ministry. There was a disconnect between God and man at all times. God was doing everything during the old time of the old covenant, doing everything that he could to keep some type of connection. And they did it through, you know, with the temple worship and all that kind of stuff. That was the connection. God had made a connection where man could be blessed and man could walk if he followed these things. Now, it sure ain't what we got on this side. You know, that's why when people come along and say, well, you know, God did all those things for Israel, he won't do them for us. I think, my God, they probably don't even think they're saved. It's absolutely ludicrous. We got the mediator and we got a covenant that ain't as good. Absolutely stupid. We're hooked to God, this mediator. And when we look at the mediator, we find out that our connection through God will be through birth. God set this thing up that through this mediation, that now we're connected to God through birth. God allowed us to take on his nature. Amazing. We're not connected to God because we got an attorney that the judge likes, but he still hates our guts. This is most of the Christian world today. That's their view on the subject. God likes Jesus. We're represented through him. You're still an old scumbag. Don't know if he cares for you or not. But, he'll be nice to you because of Jesus. But, you know, as soon as he could probably get rid of you, he'll do it. And they look at the fact of, you know, we're just lucky. You know, we got something. We don't view from the standpoint of what God did through us through the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand this is what God did. It's most amazing. Jesus spoke of the mediation ministry that he was going to do. He talked to his disciples. He said, when I leave this place, you don't have to ask me for anything anymore. You ask the Father personally yourself, and he'll give it to you. You just ask it in my name. You ask it in the name of the intercessor or the mediator. You ask in my name. He'll do for you whatever you need under the request of my name. Well, we may hear these things, but we got to be honest. We have a limited belief in these areas because the church doesn't know what intercessory ministry is about. And that's why from intercessory prayer, is when Kenneth Hagin said, it's trying to stay judgment off of people who deserve it. They need an intercessor. They need somebody who can stand between God and them. And this is the intercessory ministry in the church. Let me just say this in entering this intercession thing. I've said it before. Jesus Christ is not up. Now, I want you to think, if Jesus Christ is up there praying for the people in the earth, would it be the perfect will of God? Would it be if he's praying out for people on the earth? Don't you think things would have worked out better if he's actually doing that, or maybe he's not so good at praying? I want you to understand this. Jesus' intercessory prayer ministry takes place through the saints, not through Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit knows the will of God, and he prays it out in the earth through us. Just like what Mike talked about this morning, go past that property, he would pray. Praying what? By the Holy Spirit, helping him pray out the perfect will of God in the earth. Jesus wasn't personally up there praying for Mike for that piece of property. That was in his will. The Holy Spirit knew the will. Why? It had to be spoken out in the earth, not heaven. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. It's not ever bound in heaven or loosed in heaven. So what's going to have the effect in the earth in an intercessory ministry is man's, the born-again man, and I say man, it's woman, men, all, standing in the place of God in the earth. We take Jesus' place, man, God, and we hook up with the Father in His name and carry out and pray out the will of God in the earth to bring it to pass. Jesus doesn't need to pray it out. We do here. He left the ministry is here. The Holy Spirit was given to you to carry out the will of God in the earth, not for Jesus to carry out the will of God. That's our job here. So what we want to take place here, this is the intercessory ministry. And so we got to get that into our minds and get that into our thoughts that God is going to use people. God can use you to pray out His perfect will, to pray out, in other words, to withstand judgment in this earth. We can withstand judgment on things by us allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us. We can go and plead. You know, this morning, I was just last night when I went to bed, and this morning, I was praying concerning this hurricane down here coming on these people down in here. If this thing runs over Jamaica and it runs, you know, I don't care if these nations, I don't care if Cuba deserves to have a truck run over them. I'm sorry, I don't matter deserving them. If we're going to talk about, I deserve to have the truck run over me, but God was gracious and mercy because somebody prayed. And I was just praying this morning for those people down there for the sparing, Lord, having mercy. God ain't sending that hurricane, the devil is. But I'm praying for God's mercy because His mercy is greater than hurricanes. Say, God, I don't know if I have a leg to stand on from a standpoint of naturally of whether or not they need to have destruction, but I know You're a merciful God. I know how good You are, and I know how good You are to me. And I know, Lord God, the Bible says You don't take any pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. You take no pleasure in it. That's what the Bible says. So, Lord God, You ain't getting happy because the devil's sending a hurricane across to destroy somebody. I see Christians almost get gleeful at the destruction of the wicked. There's no pleasure in it, so I hate to see it. You know, I feel so sorry for our president. He's on his way to hell in big time. If it don't change, I take no, God, my words, I take no pleasure in that. Lost eternally, hauling his whole family off to hell. My God, what do you do when you get there and you found out you drug your own family, your children, to the place? What do you do? How do you live with that for eternity? I know where's that because that's where I was doing. The Lord told me that's what I was doing. I was dragging my whole family to hell. See, I tell you, that's a terrible thing. That's an awful thing. Thank God. Somebody must have been praying for God. Have mercy on that stupid man. That dumb Gibson guy. Do something. Oh, Lord God, don't give him what he deserves. My God, we know what he deserves. Hallelujah. But this is where the intercessory ministry comes in. Job understood that there need to be somebody standing in a place. He understood. It's a wonderful revelation. And really the church has lost that need. You know, when people talk about praying for somebody, I really don't think that we grasp the importance of what it is when we pray according to what the Word says or yielding to the Holy Spirit, how important it is that we pray for somebody. Paul talked about praying. He said, about praying for the saints. You know, all prayers and supplications in the Spirit for all the saints. He said, praying for the saints and doing those kind of things. Why, when we're praying for people, it's a hugely powerful thing when people are moving in line with God, praying for the will of God to be done in people's lives and people's. It's a hugely powerful. Standing in a place where you're joining, Lord, you know, because you see people, and man, they deserve bad. But, you know, praying off and praying in the will of God and walking in the will of God was staying judgment on areas. King Hezekiah was told concerning God had spoke to Hezekiah and told him, Hezekiah, judgment was supposed to fall in his time. But because he walked with God and did what he was supposed to, God said he was going to stay judgment till the next generation. See, we need to understand this in the church. An intercessory ministry just ain't saying words. It's a life lived too. Somebody can't become an intercessor. They don't intercede and stand before God for other people when they live like hell. The intercessory ministry, he told me, because you did right and walked right before me, I'm going to hold off. There was supposed to be judgment coming in his time and during his time because of the kings before him, what they did. And God said, I'm going to withstay that and hold it off because you walked right before me. You did what was right. See, living right and walking right's a biggie. See, we could pray and not live right and destroy our own prayer life because of what we do. We could have judgment on ourselves deserves to be brought. So we don't want to go there. So it isn't, we're not talking about just praying and praying. You know, we can pray and do whatever we want because this is the sloppy grace that's preached today. The sloppy grace is this, you live like you want. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to throw your prayer life out the window to just go live any way you want. You're going to throw it out the window. It won't go nowhere. The Bible talks about delivering people by the cleanness of your hands. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, Ed, clean up. Hallelujah. Let me read Job 9, there's 32 and 33. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, I like the way the Amplified says it. It says, for God is not a mere man, as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in court. There's no umpire between us who might lay his hand upon us both. Would that there were. I wish there was somebody. I wish there was some. I'd like to, he really wants to get into discussion with God, but we don't have a hookup. We need one. I know my side, but I don't understand his side. And from where we're coming from, does he get it all about me? See, he didn't believe God did. He didn't believe God understood from where he's come. Why? He doesn't have this umpire between. He doesn't have this intercessor, this one that can hook between the both, that can carry this thing out. And he understood a great revelation, a wonderful revelation that this man had about God. Wilford Wright, he was John G. Lake's son-in-law. He said, Job needed one who would be able to lay his hand on him and on God. He needed one to stand between him and God and plead his case. He needed somebody to plead his case before God. This is one thing. Before, I didn't go long until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I could pray in other tongues. But I would pray and I'd come to God. And I'll tell you, sometimes I'd leave. It was just like, did I even do anything when I prayed? Because it was like inside of me, I knew it wasn't reaching across to anything that I wanted to hook up to. I don't want to think. You think about this. We have through the intercessory ministry, we got the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is a carrier, one who helps us carry out that intercession ministry, even concerning joining us up with God, where He helps us pray out even the things of God concerning us, our own lives, helps us, hooks us up to pray out the will of God in our own lives. Like Mike said, driving past there, God was interested concerning Mike and him, had a plan for Mike before he had ever even thought about, probably, I don't know if he was thinking about getting married or whatever it was or anything like that, ever even came about. And he's out there doing this, and it was down the road to the future that God had set and carrying that thing out, that God was working in that thing to carry out his will and plan for life. For their life. So you sit today, you think about that. You know, where they're living in is the where they're living is where the will of God was for them to live. They're living where it's God's will. They're living in a home was God's will. Now I know the house too that they built was God's will because the Lord told me about it. Because they were thinking about changing it, and the Lord had me go to them and said, no, you don't do that. They were, They guess it got over there, thinking maybe they were going to be a little too elaborate. Sometimes people get over your way. We don't want to show off. Sometimes show off. No, it isn't showing off. It's just what they wanted. And the Lord told me that was in Mike's heart to build that house. He said, you go tell him. If he builds something else, I can't be in it with him because the one that's in his heart, he's going to have to build. Because, see, that's a place he can walk in faith with. You can't walk in faith with what ain't in your heart. It's what's in your heart you're going to have to walk in faith with. You're going to have to change what's in your heart before you can make a move. And this is why many people get dissatisfied. They have in their heart for something else and they accept less and then they end up miserable like it's somebody else's fault. Well, I'd like to have that, but God didn't want me to. No, it wasn't God didn't want you to. It's you didn't listen to your own heart. You follow what's in your heart to do. That's what you do. So, and praise God, they followed in their heart and it made them happy. Hallelujah. Praise God. So they did that. And now Isaiah says, I'm on Isaiah 59, in 59:16 says this, Isaiah 59 and verse 16, And this is where I made the quotation about this, the scripture. He says, listen to this. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Now, this is the Spirit of God speaking through the prophet. This is God. God looked and he said, he saw that there was no man and he wondered that there was no intercessor. There wasn't. God saw the need of an intercessor. There needs to be one. There needs to be an intercessor. And he says this, therefore his own arm brought salvation for him and his own righteousness sustained him. So what did God do? God looked at the need of man and said, I'm going to meet that need. There wasn't an intercessor. There's no one that could stand. He wants to fulfill. He looked back at what Job said. And Job understood it. And God, we know he understood it because it says he sent Christ before the foundation of the world. We get this information. This isn't the first time it's put in the earth. God's already moving in this direction. He's just telling man something. That God knows your need for an intercessor. He knew that you needed that. He knew that man needed an intercessor. He knew that. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that need. Man didn't bring Christ into the earth. God did. It wasn't through the will of man that God sent an intercessor. Job, the only reason he knew he needed an intercessor was because of God. It was a revelation that he got. He didn't figure that out on his own. God revealed it to him of what his need was. But why? Because God had already, before the creation of the earth, had already known what he was going to do concerning man. He wasn't surprised when Adam and Eve fell. He knew it was going to happen. It wasn't his perfect will. It isn't what he wanted to happen. But he had a plan to fix it. Isn't that wonderful? No, God has a plan to fix it before you ever messed up. Quit praying to God like you're trying to get him to do something he didn't know about. This is one. It's a great problem in the areas of prayer. People think they're telling God something he didn't know about. They're talking to God. It is because they view God on this plane over here that, you know, he doesn't, oh, God knows everything. Well, why are you talking to him like he don't know nothing? Why are you praying like he don't have a clue? He knows. See, when you approach him and approach him in the magnitude of what he is, approach him. He's the know-it-all. Dear Lord. Lord, there's some things I know, but I probably need to know some more about what you know than what I already know. Even though what I know, some things, it may be true, but I am sure there's things on your mind that are different than what I think. And finding out what it is. What's the perfect will of God? Do I want to pray that out into the earth, or am I willing to accept a lesser version of my own thought? Many people pray out the lesser version of what they were willing to put up with. And you know what? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth, you'll loose in heaven. It's good to find out the perfect will of God. See, I learned Kenneth Hagin, you've heard me say this so many times, he would pray. Kenneth Hagin would be praying, and he would say to the Lord, now Lord, he'd be thanks for it. Now Lord, if you want to do something else other than what I'm talking to you about, you let me know, I'll do whatever you want to do. See, he always let the door open for God's wisdom to come into this thing and not just his. Most people are always trying to pray out their will, and it might even be good of what you do, but it might not always be as good in the circumstances. You just can't can circumstances and say, well, this is the one fix. You know, you just fix, do this and put it on. There's things that sometimes that we don't know, and that's to find out from God. Sometimes I don't get a clear what I'm supposed to do, and that's to say, Lord, somehow I ain't got this thing. I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost pray out things through me, and I'm going to turn off this little pea running back and forth that got a little battery up there running around. I'm just going to shut it off right now, and I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I'm praying in the Holy Ghost about a thing. Sometimes revelations come to me about what I'm praying about then. Sometimes they don't. It don't matter either way. But you can pray out the will of God. And that's one of the important things about praying in tongues. But God looked in the earth and he saw the need of an intercessor. He saw that you and I needed somebody to stand between us. He knew that. And Christ was the answer to the intercession of man, because God wanted it. God wanted the intercession. We look over here. Job knew he needed one, but he couldn't do a thing about it. He said, what am I going to do about it? I can do nothing. Job had wisdom that most of the church world don't even have today. Somehow they think, you know, people, they're like, you know, when I found Christ. You never found Christ. If he didn't reveal himself to you, you'd have never known him. But see, people get over it. It's the idea, I was so smart, one day I looked for God. Dear Lord, Ed would be in hell today if God would have waited till I'd have looked for him. Dear Lord. You know, and see, when men don't understand God is the one that set this thing in motion. God is the one that wants to bless the earth and the humanity of the earth. God has set this in motion before the foundation of the world. That's his plan. God's desire to be merciful. I mean, we look at Solomon. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. They're building the temple. When they're saying that thing, the glory of God comes. The glory of God didn't come talking about God, judge him and kill him all. You know, sometimes you have to ask God to judge things. And for a righteous, there's things I pray and I talk to God about. I talk to God where I see the righteous being persecuted. And I tell the Lord, Lord, I want justice in that area. The righteous are doing good and the wicked are doing evil. And Lord, I want that reversed. Well, see, don't you want righteousness to prevail? Don't you think, you know, the law shouldn't be geared toward the evil? You know, we got in our country today, the law's geared toward the evil. I mean, Congress helps it. Because they're part of the evil. They've got tied into it for their own benefit on things. And it's geared for it. And the righteous suffer through it. Good people. People in the land who have done nothing wrong suffer for what the evil do. And I say, Lord, I want justice. Do you want justice in the land again? See, it's one thing is praying about for the important, praying about the Supreme Court. We need to bring justice back to America. We have lawlessness and it starts at the highest court of America. We got lawless, evil people dominated by devils doing all kinds of stuff to destroy this nation. I want justice. I want justice. I'm not going to be mad at them, but I want justice for the righteous. There's people suffering. There's people doing it. We got people in prison in America today, or in jails in America, because of the lawlessness in the court systems. With all this, you know, junk of, you know, you got to go along with all this, you know, everybody's okay, everybody's all right. No, they're not. You know, I don't hate the sinner. But I'm going to tell you, I hate their sin. I hate what they do because it causes trouble in the nation. Evil people doing evil things cause trouble in the nation. When we turn around and we throw marriage out and take anything in the world and throw it in its place and talk around, no, it isn't. It's evil brought in and it hurts the nation. I want justice. I want justice. It's definitely not a popular message, but we need to understand who's going to intercede. Who's going to stand up and speak to God concerning the righteous in the nation? If the church don't speak up, it ain't going to change. The church needs to go stand up and get before God and quit praying the Lord's Prayer, dear God, and start talking to God seriously about what He has said in His Word, what He wants to do. Our Father who art in heaven, like, dear God, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, my words. Say, how's he going to carry that out? Ain't got a clue. They don't realize they can sit and pray that night and day, and if they don't join in and hook with God, they're just blowing wind. It matters not. It matters not what they do. But we got these nice little religious things that people do, and they think it's absolutely wonderful, and it's not. The Apostle Paul wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:5. Here's what he said. There is one God. Now, he doesn't understand, if you read Paul's theology, he don't mean that there's just one person. There's the one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit make up the one Godhead. That's the Godhead. There is only one God. Now, and he says this. Now, that God, he said, and there's one mediator between God and man. Listen what he says. What does he call him? The man, Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting? Do you know why he called it? The mediator is what? The mediator has to be as much man as he is God. If he's not, he has no place to stand between us. We have a man in heaven, a glorified man in heaven who represents humanity in the face of God. And you know what? On the God side, God has a guy who's a representative who's God. You see this thing? Oh, God fixed a system and it's beautiful. The beauty of the fixed system. God is representing God, and this glorified man is representing man. And they're hooked together in one, Christ Jesus. Oh, our Jesus, huh? He's something. Our Jesus. He's the rep. And it says what? There's one. There's one intercessor. There's one God, one man. This one intercessor that comes out. This intercessor. This great. So, and he's the mediator. It says it's one mediator. Now, you need to understand that. See, the church world today, it's like sometime back, a couple years ago, I was reading an article on surveys that they did on people and on religions to people who were born again. They took it, people who say they're born again. They did surveys and stuff and ran it on them. And there was like 40% of some groups believe that you didn't have to accept Jesus to go to heaven, you'd go other ways. Today, it's probably much higher than that. It's probably much higher than that. See, they believe these things. We find out here there's only one mediator. You need to understand this. We preach the gospel to people, we need to tell them. See, this is the great resistance against the gospel, why they don't want it preached today, they don't like it, because it's narrow. Jesus said that our way is narrow. Today, there's a wide gospel preached. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a narrow gospel. They have the wide gospel. God accepts you the way you are. You are. No, he doesn't. God accepts people who receive Christ and will be changed. If you want to be the way you are, you're going to end up in hell. If Ed wanted, God didn't accept Ed the way he was. The only reason God called Ed is to find out if Ed wanted to change. If a person does not want to change, God will not accept them. They will not become a child of God. There's one mediator, only one. It's God's way. They must receive Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's only through Jesus Christ. See, we're narrow in our belief. I'm not going to fight with other religions over and stuff, but I'm going to tell you, none of them are right but Jesus. That's it. They're all wrong. There is only one mediator between God and man. There's only one way to do it, and it's Jesus Christ. Anybody can argue their point, say whatever you want, do whatever you want. I don't care. Done read the book. Done read the book. I believe Paul before I believe all these people out saying all this crazy stuff. I'm taking what the Bible says about it. There's one mediator, and his name is Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. There's not another way. One. It's just like Job knew to hook up with God, he needed a mediator. He had somebody in the middle of this thing. He needed someone who was going to lay hands on both of us. There's only one who can lay hands on both of us, and that's Jesus Christ is the only one that can do that. And that's why he's called the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all that stuff. That's why they gave him all those honorary names. All that thing's because the position he stands in. Not anybody in the church stands in that position other than the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, our mediation, without the mediation of Jesus Christ between God and man, which the position he stands in, you don't have a basis of answered prayer. You can't get prayers answered just because you're a nice person. Good, do good. But it's the mediation ministry of Jesus Christ is why you and I, it's in that name. We cast out devils in that name. It's the authority of the mediator that gives us the right to do what we do. We don't do it. Our answered prayer is based on the mediator's name, not yours. It's not founded upon your good works or not. It's found faith in his name. Like the Apostle Peter said concerning the guy at the gate, beautiful. He said, why do you look on us like we did something great? He said it was in faith in the name of Jesus is what made this guy, his legs, you know, whole, you know, and made him strong. That's what happened. It was faith in the name of Jesus. The church has lost faith in the name of Jesus and we replaced it with faith in ourselves. And what I can do and what I can carry, what I can believe. I'm sorry. It's all done through Jesus Christ, the mediator. The mediator is what makes this thing work. And there's only one mediator. That's why with Jesus Christ, today in the church world, they have these groups that come in and they tell people how to grow their church. And I've heard this say by other number of ministers. They say these groups come in and what they do is don't use the name of Jesus so much. Because why? It irritates the devil. And most of the people in the congregation love the devil. And when all those devils that are in them get stirred up, when somebody starts talking this, and they won't come to church no more, and we ain't hanging around there because we like the devil. And Jesus makes me uncomfortable. And I want you all to tell you the truth. I found this out as a young Christian. I worked at Reese Candy Company. We had two ladies that were always talking about, they said, you know, always say they were Christians, they were talking back and forth things. And I always listened to them, these two ladies, they had talked, and just in my mind, it was like, you know, If these two are Christians, they are so nominal, it's incredible. And so one day, I got talked to him, and I asked him this question. Why are you a Christian? And he said, well, we believe in God. I said, so is the devil. So I said, devil as much as a Christian as you are. I said, what do you mean you believe in God? I said, the Bible. I was a young Christian, maybe born again about 2 or 3 months. I said to him, you know, why do you guys believe it? I said, it's faith in Jesus Christ. And as soon as I said the name of Jesus, I could tell the two of them got tight. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could tell. And I started talking about Jesus. And man, I want to tell you, their Christian character changed. I could tell they were totally uncomfortable with the name of Jesus. And I want you to tell you this. I know ministers that are uncomfortable with the name of Jesus. I know people that are uncomfortable with the name of Jesus, and people call them good ministers. And they're uncomfortable with Jesus. The Apostle Paul said that the devil's going to get people in the church in the last days. The devil's going to have his boys in. He called them just like angels of light. The devil will send angels. And that's what we do. We get people out there. And you start finding people get nervous and don't like the name of Jesus. I was asked to pray at an event, supposed to be a Christian event, and they told me when you pray, because there was other people there, and as to don't use the name of Jesus. And I told them, I said, if I can't use the name of Jesus, I don't come nor pray. I said, I want you to understand, I will not deny Jesus Christ for, you know, a bunch of backslidden buzzards who turn around and are ashamed of Jesus Christ. I said, that's my faith. I said, if I don't use his name and pray in his name, I deny him. I can't do that. I won't do that so a bunch of religious people feel okay. Because we don't want anybody feeling uncomfortable in the crowd, because there's people of other religions. I want them all uncomfortable. I want to use that name. If they don't get uncomfortable and realize that their religion's sending them to hell, but that's what you're doing. Much of the church world today don't care if people go to hell. They don't care. It's whether I can get you in my church and get you to send me a check. That's the important part. We can do something big. It makes me feel good. And look at all we got. While people sit out there in lost condition because we want to make everybody comfortable. Dear God, God didn't make Ed comfortable to get him saved. I spent months in discomfort, God dealing with me. Discomforted because I was in trouble. And God kept reminding me of the trouble I was in. He wasn't telling me, oh, you cute little thing. Ain't nothing wrong with you, Ed. You're just a good person. All you need is just a little change here, a little tweak there. No, he talked to me like I was a dirty, rotten stinker that's going to hell and going to drag my family there too. That's why I don't know the Holy Ghost a lot of preachers talk about, because I ain't ran into that one yet. That one that's always sweet-talking Ed. Now, he'd have to be a liar to do that. Ed ain't always need to be sweet-talked to. Ed needs told. And so do you. Thank God. Why? He'll tell you the truth, because the truth is what makes you free. If the Holy Spirit had not dealt with me the way that he did, I wouldn't be free today. I'd be dead in my sin. Talking sweet to people and trying to make them feel good, has it worked? It hasn't worked. It hasn't. All this wonderful new covenant we have in the church world today, it goes over and looks at the old covenant like it's past. And here we got a guy named Job understood God better than most of them understand today. What a shame that that is. He knew his need. Man, that's the thing that we need to know. Hebrews 9:24 says this, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands. Thank God he didn't. Which are copies of the true. That was a copy. The one that was on the earth was a copy. That temple was a copy of something. He said, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God, what? For us. Jesus is there in the presence of God for us. When you and I come to God in prayer, when you and I stand on the word, we have a representative in heaven. In the presence of God himself. That gives you and the right to use Jesus' name to get whatever you need in prayer to carry out God's will and God's plan. You got it. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost moved in. You and I, we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. God, what God did, all these things, so you and I could hook up with the Heavenly Father personally. Just think about it. You can personally hook up. Why? Because of your representative. Your representative, this intercessor, Jesus Christ, works such a great intercession and works such a deal off out with God that now you don't, it started off, his intercessory ministry was through his death, burial, and resurrection. But after that, anybody who believed on him, now you go directly to the Father yourself. Think about that. You talk about working out a good deal. Now, this isn't, you know, today you go to the courts, you know, you can go out there and best you can try to do it, but I tell you, the court systems and the law is so complicated, you better get yourself an attorney, or you better have heard from heaven you're supposed to represent yourself. But what do? We get that person to go in and do the talking for you. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ, we don't need Jesus to go in and do the talking for us. See, people do this thing and say, well, you know, we asked Jesus and Jesus asked the Father. That's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. Jesus said, you ask the Father. He said, you don't have to ask me anymore. You ask the Father directly. The deal that Jesus worked out through his intercession that you could go directly to the Father yourself. See, what we do, let's take like, say, if a union at a place working. If you have a gripe against the company, you go to your union representative goes to the company, and they go to that. And see, people call that intercession. Jesus' intercession is far beyond that. I don't need to go to the representative anymore. I can go right to the company head. Myself. Do you understand the power of intercessory ministry in the church? It has failed because the church hasn't really followed in line with the authority that God's given. We go right to the head. God gave you to God the Holy Spirit inside you to help carry out a perfect intercession. This is it's such a phenomenal thing. Jesus isn't up there. Jesus said, no, look, once I set this deal, you don't have to call. Just use my ticket. Said, you know, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we need this. And Father, I'm just coming in the name of Jesus. And I'm just asking you for mercy on so-and-so. And just pleading, you can plead directly. See, it says in the Old Covenant, God wants somebody to come and plead together. He wants somebody to come and plead together with him. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment that you can go plead together with God. You know, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. You know, even though you and I may not sometimes know much about it, God don't look at you as a dummy and your opinion being a dummy, even though it may be not very much. You don't know much about it. But he don't consider you an idiot. He thinks you're supposed to come and talk to him about it. Come and talk. Come plead your case. How do you see it? How do you see it done? What do you think about it? What do you think ought to be done in this situation? God is interested in the church's voice in the earth. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose, he's interested in our voice of what we want. Because whether you talked about it to God or not, you're going to be running around saying it on your voice. Either bringing good or bad, one way or the other, we're going to do it. And God said, no, come, you got the problem? Come to me about this. Come and talk to me about this thing. You and I are going to plead this thing. Let's sit down and let's look at this thing. In other words, I'll make an agreement between you and I. I don't have to get Jesus again to try to talk God into doing something. See, this is where Catholicism uses Mary. Now, I know they get upset because I say it, listening, but they use Mary. They think if you go to Mary and Mary will talk to Jesus and then Jesus will do what you want because he'll listen to his mama. That's basically what it's about. But you need to understand, that whole theology is wrong. The church is told by Jesus to go directly to the Father themselves. So see, what they think it is just like the world does. You go to this guy, and this guy goes to that guy, and that guy goes to this guy, and finally we'll get to the top of this thing. That isn't the agreement that God set up with the church. The agreement through the intercessor of Jesus Christ, he interceded with us and gave the church his name that you and I can go directly to the Father and ask ourselves. It bypasses everything. God has trimmed it down to where his people can get the problem fixed. It isn't like dealing with the government. You got to go through 27 agencies to do nothing. And it won't get worked out anyhow. But most of the church world is operating in that system. That's what they do. They think God's the same way. And he's not. The ministry of Jesus Christ, the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. I don't need Jesus specifically praying for me because I can specifically myself come to God. He isn't saying, look, Father, I need to talk to you about Ed down here. He's so stupid. You know, and help him, Lord, because he ain't got no brains. And, you know, Ed can't come and talk to you because, Lord, you ain't going to put up with him in your presence talking to him. No, I'll do it for it. This is what the church has done in her intercessory ministry. Felt and really preached us an unworthiness in the presence of God when Jesus said, no, I worked this thing out. You use my name. You're allowed to go and talk to him about this stuff. You just go yourself. You know, because this way we don't lose anything in translation. I'm going to tell, did you ever do that? Tell somebody, tell your supervisor a problem and he passed it on the next person who got down the line. You wonder, what did they think we were talking about? You don't have to do that. God has set up a system through the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. He's worked out a deal through birth that you and I have the nature of God. You're approaching God with the Holy Spirit inside of you, in your spirit. That would sort of make you pretty credible to be in the presence of God, wouldn't it? I mean, you're... And you can come into the present God. You were given the name of Jesus Christ to use for whatever it is you want to talk to God about. And you can approach yourself. And see, if you don't understand and know those things, then Matthew 18:18 is a pretty worthless thing. Whatever you bind on earth are bound in heaven, whatever you're loosed. That's why I never heard that preached the whole time I was a kid in church. All through the years that I sat in 10,000 different services, nobody ever used that. It wasn't until I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about that. And the reason the churches don't use it, because they don't know what the intercessory ministry of Jesus is. They think he's still praying for us because we're just a bunch of knuckleheads and can't do nothing. The fact that God opened the door for you through the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ, you can come personally to God yourself, is so phenomenal of God's opinion of the born-again believer. Hallelujah. Now, don't get big-headed and think you're God. You're not God. But I'm going to tell you what, if we just understood our position concerning prayer or what we can enter God and we can talk to God about, the things and the things that we want to change. Asking God to have mercy. Would God ever want you to have mercy? See, we do this thing. We're supposed to be merciful to people, but yet we think God wants to kill everybody. God wants to send that hurricane, kill everybody. But Ed, you know, you need to be merciful. I decided this a long time ago. If I can love better than God, I don't need him. If God asks me to love while he kills everybody, we ain't on the same page. See, we need to understand these things. God wants to be merciful. And I'll tell you what, till the church leaves, I want to see a little more mercy going on. I don't know about you. I'm still here. You know, people may deserve to be punished, and it will come. There's a day coming. There are some things of judgment we won't turn around. It's going to happen. But, hallelujah, there's wonderful things that we can do while we're here so people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will have an opportunity to hear the truth, and it's the truth that'll make them free. Hallelujah. See, and you can understand then in Romans, when Paul wrote Romans 8:34, and he said, Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, and is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. See, the making of that intercession, what's he talking about? It's the things that we've just been discussing. See, his intercession ministry is what allows you and I to carry the intercession out in this earth. It carried out through us. We're God's intercessors in the earth. We're the mediators between God and man. The preaching of the gospel is part of the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. We're going out telling people the truth. That's part of intercession ministry. There's intercession in prayer that we can do, but our intercession is carrying out the ministry of Jesus. The demonstrations of the Holy Ghost, manifestations of the Holy Ghost are part of the ministry of intercession of Jesus Christ through the believers to the people in the earth. What we do is part of intercession ministry. It's what it is. It's what we do as intercessors. We're God's laid his hand on us. Hallelujah. God's hand's on the church. And what the most wonderful thing, it started out, it was laid on God and on man, but through Jesus Christ, God lays his hand directly on us. Glory to God. Good news. God's directly laid his hands on the church. And the church has been given the great intercessor, his name, the name of Jesus, to use that authority in this earth to carry out the intercessory ministry. Go into the world and preach the gospel. That's part of the intercessor. We go preach about the intercessor, the one that stands between God and man, and call people to come and join with that intercessor. Because if they don't, there's only one. And if you don't receive that one, you're going to be lost for eternity. There is only one. There's not another one. There's not another way of salvation. The door is very narrow. The wide leads to destruction. Jesus said so. This wide gospel is leading people to destruction. We need to come back and preach Jesus Christ again, the only intercessor. He's the one and only intercessor. There is no other. Hallelujah. Our intercessor is at the right hand of God. The representative in all humanity. When you're born again and you go to prayer to God, God sees, he looks at Jesus, and in Jesus he sees all that's born again, all that's in earth, and all the glory that Jesus did in carrying out that ministry of intercession through his death, burial, and resurrection. He sees all born again people in that. And when you use that name and you come before him in that name, and you're standing in that name before him in his presence, you're marked, folks. You're marked by God. This one's mine. They belong to me. They're mine. I hear. That's why John said, look, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if you know he hears you, you have the petition you requested of him. Why? Because the great intercessor is sitting at the right hand. The representation of the one who did all the glorious things, and you get the credit for it. Ain't that wonderful? You walk into God's presence by faith in the Spirit, and it's just as if you died for your sins, was raised from the dead. He responds to you in that manner. Now, you didn't do it, but he's set up the system. He's the one, but between him and Jesus, made this system. If somebody thinks it's too good, too bad. I'm sorry. God's the one that decided the system, not you and I. And he made the system much better than you and I had ever made it. Job never dreamed of such a glory in his lifetime. He might have saw glimpses of it, but he'd have never dreamed that the day he could stand in the presence of God, because he deserved to be there. And he could talk directly into the face of God, one to one. Job never dreamed that. See, and that's why when you start preaching the true grace, why would you preach this sloppy stuff when the good stuff is so darn good? This stuff is so wonderful, and it is so glorious. Why would we want to cheapen? You know, that's like saying, no, I tell you what, don't give me that gold plate to eat off of. I'll take a nice one on. Just give me an old piece of china over there. We'll just do that. And really, that's what the church has done. The church thought we could win people for Christ through offering something cheap. I'm going to tell you, God wants to win people with gold. He offers mankind the gold. He doesn't offer him something cheap. And when the church preaches cheap, it makes it hard for people to believe God would be that good. See, we need to get pie this stuff. Let's close with this scripture. It says, therefore, in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the utmost. That utmost means complete or perfect. He can save to the utmost. This intercessor can save to the utmost. Or he can say, did he save you completely? He perfectly saved you. Hallelujah. You might look and say, well, it sure don't seem perfect. I'll tell you, agree with him. Don't agree with you. Agree with him. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives. Our intercessor is in the face of God forever. This covenant never changes. The glory of the blood of Jesus put on mercy seat of heaven stands forever. The one who sits on the throne with Jesus, his ministry stands forever. And I'll tell you, that intercessory ministry never changes. All through eternity, you and I are in the presence of God because of the God-man. And forever, he's going to be the God-man. Forever, he's going to be the God-man. And you and I are going to be like the God-man. We're going to have the glory suit like he got on. And we're going to be in heaven with him. And all these God-men are going to be in heaven together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I preach me happy today. I'll tell you, this message we got so good, I don't understand why people want to change it. You know, offering people so much less than what God is. Offering man less than what the glory of God is. It's absolute stupidity. Satan wants to cheapen the gospel, but we're not going to let him cheapen it. I won't let him cheapen it for me. This glory is too great. Hallelujah. It's hard sometimes to think about what God did through Jesus. We try to understand the mind. You don't have to understand the mind. God never told you to understand everything. He just told you to believe it. And when you come to the place to believe it, you might come over and start to understand it. But we like to do it in reverse. I'll believe it when I understand. No, it's true. It's true. You and I have open access to Father God completely through the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. And in this earth, the church, just think what Jesus said to this. Whatever you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you doubt not in your heart, but believe those things that you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Oh, my. The intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ revolutionized God's plan and purpose in the earth. The new covenant is so far above the old covenant, it's hard to sometimes see it together. And if through the will of God, through God, God shows me a lot of things in the old covenant, shows me the tops and the shadows of the things. He shows me stuff. But there's one thing, it is so glorious on this side. What Jesus did is so glorious. It's so magnificent. But the more I see it, the more I understand there had to be a God-man. God had to come as a man. Think about this God the Father sitting up there in heaven. Here he is looking down on mankind who deserves to be totally judged and destroyed and forever lost in eternity. That's what they deserve. And this is what this God does. I want to do that. You all deserve it. We all deserved it, every one of us. But God had, before he set even in motion of putting, creating this earth, putting man on it, he decided on the redemption of man. He says, no, I don't want to do that. I want to find a way that I can hook up. I want the way that I can hook up with man. Then me and man can be one together. I want to redeem the whole bunch of those people. I don't care what they did. You imagine? He didn't care what they did. But understand this, what God did was through Jesus was dealt the problem that was between man and God, and that was called sin. And that's what always has to be corrected. That's why when they preach today, you don't have to ask God to forgive you. If you're a Christian, you're already forgiven. No, sin always stands between God and man. God, you and I have an eternal way to deal with it. You know, we can confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But I'll tell you why. It's called the areas of fellowship. God doesn't want you just to come in on a business deal where you come and ask him something and he does it. He wants your fellowship. God wants to hang out with you. He just doesn't want to be. See, most people, it's about a business deal, them and God. You know, I come in and say, Lord, you know, out here, I need this over here. Ship it out here, you know, put it in, send it by UPS, and we'll pick it up, and we'll do this. And this is what they're doing. Their prayer life is sort of like that. Their prayer life is not based that there's an equality between them and God. Or the sloppy grace has been preached, and men see themselves as God don't really amount to much. You have two sides of this thing. But see, you and I were called, and that's the God, the creator of heaven and earth, all the someone who always existed. He's a self-existing one. That's the great I am, self-existing. How many here are you self-existing? Last I checked, Ed wasn't. And he self-existed. This one here decided through this redemption that he's going to provide through Jesus Christ that you can come and fellowship as one with him. See, that was God's plan from the beginning with Adam. He'd come down in the cool of the day and walk with him. He didn't look at Adam as this lower being. He longed, his whole longing was always just to fellowship with man. God wanted somebody to fellowship. You know, angels can't give God what he wants. They're created beings. We're born beings. We're a different species. We were the only species that was ever created in the earth that was like God. How God looks in this earth and sees what sin does when men love the animal life more than they do man. It's shameful. It is shameful. It is shameful because they tried to, animal life has become greater than the life of men. God came to save men. In this earth today, what would help people out? They can't do it because, oh, there might, and you know, we might kill a species. We might kill three frogs and a duck over here. And we just can't do that. We'll just let people suffer, you know. Let humanity suffer, you know. We got all these things going on. It doesn't matter about humanity. And that's the perversion. And the reason it does? Sin. It's sin. These people think these ways because of sin. We have many Christians that think that way because they're bound in sin. They've taken on the thinkings of the world. They don't take on the thoughts of the intercessor. They take on... See, our intercessory ministry is about saving people. And these last days, I have no interest at all in climate change or none of that junk. I'm not interested. Jesus is coming back. Things are going to turn sour in this earth. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's about getting people off this earth to be with Jesus. That's what it's about. I don't care about the rest of this junk. It don't matter. If the icebergs melt, let them go. Get them saved before they drown. But it don't matter if they melt. I ain't saving the bears. They ain't going. They polar bears ain't going there anyhow. You know, spirit. I've had spirit-filled Christians come and ask me, you know, if my dog dies or my cat dies, are they going to be in heaven? I say, I wouldn't worry about it. You may not be there. Dear God, that's the thought. I can only be happy in heaven if my animal's there with me. Can you imagine what a low life thought that is? But see, people don't see it. They think this is some kind of great thing. It's not a great thing, folks. Because what it does, that person just told me they don't think much of themselves. They don't see themselves in a likeness and image of God. They see animals as more valuable to keep them happy because God can't. God can't. See, we need to. We can't think along these lines anymore. Not to get mistreating now, go kill all the animals in the earth. My words, I ain't, you know. But we got to get off of this stupid stuff that we're on. And what's being preached out here is worrying about if the animal life dies, we're all going to go under. Now, I want you to think about that. If all the whales died tomorrow, because there are whale species that already have died and gone and ain't in the earth, are we still breathing? If they die, we won't make it. Can you imagine? God created the earth that man can't make it here. But see, you got to listen to scientists. Majority of scientists are sinners, bound in sin, preaching the devil's gospel. They preach what they were, the things that the devil helps promote and helps to push, and they preach it, put it out here. And we got all this nonsense going on. But I'm going to tell you, you and I need to take our place with our intercessor. Hallelujah. The place that he made for you and I to stand in, and let's stand in that place. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we just want to say this morning, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for the graciousness of Scripture, the things that you've laid out before us just in Scripture, Lord God, that, Lord God, it just makes such a wonderful picture of the redemption and its great plan and all you've done for us. Hallelujah. And Father God, I know, and even myself, Lord God, is studying these things and look at them, I realize how really having stood as I should in the place of intercession. Hallelujah. And stood in the place. And Lord God, I want to thank you. You didn't criticize us. You just gave us the information on it. You're teaching us. You're instructing us. So we can walk in this wonderful place of ministry that you called us all to. Not just a certain group or just one here, one there. Lord God, we all have a place of ministry in this intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. And Father God, how that ministry ties in to so many things. And we just thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for opening up the door. Lord God, Jesus, by you becoming a man and laying hands on us, and by laying your hands on God, I want to thank you, Father, that through Jesus Christ you worked out the most glorious, glorious deal that's ever was on the earth. That just through faith in Christ Jesus and his work, that we believe on those, Lord God, that we became born again children of God. And through that name name of Jesus, we can approach you freely today. We can come into your presence, Lord God. Lord, that your great interest in humanity and the fact that you gave us such authority with that name, that whatever we bind on earth would be bound in heaven and whatever we loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. Father God, it's absolutely phenomenal, the authority that you've given the church. And Father God, there's one thing that I'm just so grateful for, because just as Solomon had the revelation and knew and understand that the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And Lord God, in this day and time, Lord God, my voice will go out that you're a good God. Hallelujah. You're a good God. Hallelujah. You're not the one trying to bring destruction in the earth. Lord God, man has brought on himself, has allowed Satan to do things because he's hooked up with the wrong crowd. He hooked up with the wrong group. But Father God, we're not hooked up with the wrong group. We're hooked up with the right one. And Lord God, our God is good and his mercy endureth forever. That is our God. Jesus Christ is the living proof of that. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. He's the beautiful picture of that, Lord God. Lord God, of the glory that came to man through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, of the good God and his great mercy. And so, Lord God, we know that we can call out to you in this day and time and ask you to have mercy on our land. Lord God, to show your mercy concerning our election. Lord God, even though we've messed up, Lord, we're the church. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to reveal your mercy again, Lord God, and restore government back, Lord God. Government, Lord, that Lord God, that brings glory and honor again to what is right and what's true. Lord God, that's what we want. Lord God, we, through your mercy, we ask for it. Lord God, we can as a nation, majority of the people do not deserve that. But Lord God, none of us could stand in your presence and say what we are today is because of deserving. None have deserved it, none. But Lord God, you were merciful and you changed not. And we call again to have mercy, Lord God. Restore justice in our land again, Father God. We want these things to happen before Jesus comes back. Lord God, we want your mercy through sending, Lord God, and raising up your ministry gifts again in the church world. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Lord God, people that are called and have your hand upon them, that they will rise up into their ministries in these last days, that again there'll be leadership in the church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, in this earth. And Father, we also call because we want, through your great grace and your intercession in the earth, we desire that the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits, the working of miracles, Lord God, the gifts of healing and the gifts of faith, Lord God, prophecy, tongues and interpretation, we want them to operate in their fullness in the earth, Lord God. Father, we stand, this is one of the things that we desire, and we call to the God of great mercy, hallelujah, to pour these things out, Lord God, in fullness in these days and these times upon humanity again. Lord God, that the great intercessor, Jesus Christ, is seen as the glory of the church again, hallelujah, that his name is exalted above all, Lord God. We thank you for it, Father. Father, I'm so glad. I'm so glad, Lord God, you're not against people. You're for us, hallelujah. Lord God, you aren't against the church. Lord God, if anything you don't want to do is bring judgment on the church. But Lord God, some will not turn. And Father God, I do plead, Lord, for mercy, Lord God. Oh, Father, Father, there's some, Lord God, if they don't soon change, there not might be another opportunity for them to change. And Lord God, I'm talking about Christians. If they don't make some changes, there may not be another opportunity for change. And Lord God, I ask through mercy in the name of Jesus, Father, send laborers out into the harvest. Lord God, I want to thank you. Send laborers out into the church today, into the church to begin to speak the truth out there again in the church. Lord God, reviving your people again, raising your people up. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us leaders who have kept our direction straight. I want to let you know I appreciate that. Appreciate, Lord God, putting leaders over me, Lord God. Father, and Lord, I think it's a great act of mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, because I see some direction some have taken. And Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank you because I know this, your ear is turned toward us. Your ear is turned toward us. You're calling us to yourself. You're calling, hallelujah, Lord God, you want us in your presence. You want us to talk to you about the things that we're facing and what's going on. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you want us to ask according to the scriptures and what they say and what they tell us. You want to fulfill those things. Hallelujah. You want to bring them to pass. And Lord God, you will. You will, because we will hook up with your purpose. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.